BlakeRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Andy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
That's redundant.
It's totally not redundant. We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World tag team champions of the world. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that.
And it's whichever like two worlds you want to choose, it's up to you.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Somewhat special edition of The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. That's right, here in America, it is Independence Day, July 4th, where we celebrate our freedoms by blowing up our own country. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and as always, joining me is my ever-faithful, ever-diligent producer, Sir Rockin.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
What?
Me interrupting you.
Yeah, I kind of was. I was expecting one of you to do it. And we are joined! He is back from the crypt, as it were. His internet has finally decided to play nice by the one, the only, the man who's representing the rest of the world who just simply sees today as Wednesday, Mace.
Wednesday?
Welcome, kiddies!
Or, well,
yeah, really
in his
bad
case,
crypt paper.
No, in
yeah,
our
it's
case,
a, it's a Thursday.
Thursday. Our case is Thursday. In your case, his case, it's Friday.
Yeah.
We do a show on Thursdays, Lindsay.
I don't even know what day it is. Don't ask me questions.
How many have you drunk so far?
Not many.
She was thinking the other day. Yesterday was Friday, anyhow. So, good
yeah,
evening,
my week is all screwed up. Anyway, we'll re-edit that later, or we'll just leave it in the intro, because you know it's not a show unless I screw something up!
Oh, you don't screw anything up. Just, you know, hi everybody, welcome to the show. Are you happy? Are you excited? It's Independence Day! You know, the day where Yokozuna got slammed by Lex Luger.
Yeah!
That's why we celebrate it, right? No?
No. Something about these guys, and they looted the British out of off the North American continent, and yeah, there was a war and stuff.
There's a war and stuff? Okay.
Yeah. Although, you know, now it doesn't really mean anything since our
Wait, America in a war? Say it ain't so.
I know, right?
Yeah, that never happens. And, you know, politicians aren't totally ripping away our freedoms. You know, that doesn't happen either.
No. We the people.
We the people. And not in the bigoted kind of we the people. The
no,
actual we the people.
We the people. We the awesome people of the America. America.
Yes. Ron Paul, go look him up. He's awesome. Anyway, if you're just joining us, or if you've never heard the show before, or if you're joining us again, we, of course, as always, brought to you by our wonderful sponsors, MemLanePromo.com, Memorabilia Lane. Go there for all your memorabilia needs. They've got some awesome stuff on sale right now related to July 4th, including baseball-type items, NFL-type items, wrestling-type items, and all sorts of other stuff. So go check them out because, yeah, they're amazing.
You brought up Ron Paul, right? And we should go searching out for him. And when we go searching out for him, we'd probably find pictures of two strange people together.
We find pictures of Kane and Vince Vaughn together.
That's a scary collection.
Kane is Vince Vaughn's wingman or vice versa. That is a terrifyingly awesome prospect.
Wedding Crashers 2, starring Glenn Jacobs and Vince Vaughn, coming to a WWE film near you.
Well, he's got to be better than Owen Wilson.
Touche. Touche.
Yes. But we're not here to talk about Wedding Crashers. We're kind of here to celebrate Independence Day, but we're here to talk all about wrestling because we've got quite a bit to talk about. We've got news, we've got discussions, we've got tonight's exciting impact from Las Vegas, but before we get to all that, we've got our question of the night.
Goes as follows. What is your favorite 4th of July treat? That simple.
Yeah, we were desperate. We didn't have anything else. Sorry.
No, not really. We really. It took us till 2 a.m. to actually come up with the show. Anyway.
Anyway, so
let's get into it. Let's get into some news, Lindsay, brought to you by PWMania.com.
Exactly. Well, I think we kind of got to start with the biggest news, which I'm not sure which is which, because there were some very big stories that broke this week. But I think we're going to start, since I know what Mace is here to talk about. Let's just start right off the bat.
Okay, he's here to talk about the big news, everybody. Taz has re-signed with TNA Wrestling.
Yes, so exciting.
Mace, reaction. Taz re-signs. Go.
Armageddon! Taz re-signs TNA Armageddon!
Hey, come on. If he didn't re-sign, we'd be stuck with Mike Tanay and that's it. I think he was really in a position to leave.
Actually, they might put JB on commentary. Or they bring Todd Kinley back.
They bring Todd. Oh, God. Yay, Taz is back. Now we can listen to him and, you know, bash Mike Tanay for 2 hours. It's fantastic. Especially on the one night only pay per views. Get him.
Yes, Hart.
Get him. Yes. The Hardcore Justice is 2. There's tomorrow, 8 p.m., I think, on your local cable and satellite providers. Order it.
If you don't order it for anything else other than a whole bunch of people beating the crap out of a whole bunch of other people, James Mitchell, Sinister Minister. Buy it.
He sings karaoke on the show. No, he's actually involved in the program, and he wears a fancy do-rag, so that's all the spoilers we're going to give. He has a fancy do-rag.
And he wears the badass suit. Mm-hmm. The zoot suit.
Yeah, but Taz has resigned with the company. We talked about on the show last week how it was up in the air whether he would resign or not, as he was making hints about it on the Twitters about how WWE had a show in Brooklyn and, you know, it's right over near Red Hook, yada, yada, yada. But Taz is back, and I believe it's for 2 years.
Good for him. But, well, we got to go with the other big TNA news, which, of course, is the fact that, well, TNA let some people go this week, didn't they?
They let a bunch of people go yesterday. What some people were claiming Black Wednesday. Others just go, they got some people.
It should be noted that only 4 people were actually released from the company. Those 4 people were Taylor Hendricks, Joey Ryan, Christian York, and Crimson. The 5th, which was Madison Rayne, her contract actually expired, and she's currently with child, so she is not in a position to re-sign any kind of contract, and it's unknown at this stage whether she is going to continue wrestling when she gives birth or if she's going to retire.
Right.
So she really shouldn't be counted among the firees just because, well, she didn't get fired, and she's kind of up in the air at this stage. But there has been a lot of reaction about the other 4 being let go. Probably the biggest of the 4 is Crimson, followed up by, I would say, Christian York.
I'll let you go. Run it that way.
Well, I'm trying to base it on exposure. I mean, as far as who got the most exposure on the product, and everybody knows, I'm really not a fan of Joey Ryan. Don't really care for him.
I don't think many people are. But yeah, they're all gone, and it's for budgetary reasons. And there's reports out there TNA is behind in paying their talent. Some reports have it up to a month that talent is behind. It's not all talent that's behind in pay. It's other workers within the company that are behind in pay. Some talent haven't been paid, but this story was coming out, and it was as of the last TV taping. So, for all we know at this point, TNA talent could have been paid at those tapings. That is unknown at this point. But it was as of the last tapings, people were a few couple weeks behind in their pay.
Right, and I know, Mace, you had some comments on that, so I'll let you go first, since I know you wanted to react to this.
Well, firstly, you know, Joey Ryan, good riddance. I was actually surprised with Christian York, but then again, we don't see him that much. And if you notice, the big trend with all this was most of them were gut check participants.
Mm-hmm.
These are the guys that are basically paid per appearance. It just so they're the easiest ones to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they still have, you know, guys like Hogan and Bischoff, you know, and all like guys sitting up at the top of the echelon getting paid, you know, a couple hundred thou a year, that really could open up a big portion of that checkbook. But no, they keep them on. Why? I don't know. Like, it's very weird that they seem to cut the low strings that aren't really going to end up saving the money in the long run. You know, you'd think it'd be best to maybe look at some of the higher end guys that you haven't used in a long time that might be worth cutting out and making them disappear.
Like who?
As much as he's been an on-screen character, I'd definitely put Hogan at the top of that list.
Alright, it's funny you bring up Hulk Hogan, because me and Lindsay had a discussion last night around 2 a.m. as we were figuring out the show. And it ties into some. Are we talking about it later, Lindsay?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about it later. So we'll tease it here. What if Hogan does it? I believe Hogan's contract is up close to the end of the year, I think. Because that's when he signed originally, was at the end of a calendar year. I can see guys like Hogan going. I can see, you know, Bischoff going. He's made inklings that he's leaving the company at some point, and his production company is just going to do whatever it does. Hogan could go, because after this storyline with Bully Ray, there probably isn't a place for Hogan. And we'll get deeper into that later, but that's... You mentioned him, his contract, but you have to also remember, his contract is not just TNA paid. It's Spike TV paid.
True.
And that's with like the guys like Sting and Kurt Angle. They're not only TNA paid, they're Spike TV paid.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the biggest issue when you have so many, or when you have two big hands in the pot, one being Panda Energy, who is TNA, and Spike TV. It's like, where does each revenue for each person come from?
Right.
So that just makes it a whole heap harder on who to cut, because you don't know who's getting what paycheck.
Right. And you can also go, when the Aces and Eights storyline goes, you could see people go from there as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I could see 95% of that group disappearing.
So at some point,
Nux,
and
Doc,
probably
Garrett,
and Wes, probably.
And Wes, yeah. They'd be the first ones on the chopping block.
So they're probably going to cut more talent down the line. That's sort of what we thought about.
Yeah, and look for guys like Jay Bradley and those type people to get cut after the Bound for Glory series as well.
And now it's not saying people like Taylor Hendricks or Christian York or Crimson can't be brought back at some point. That's the way TNA does things. Everybody's available, can come back whenever they choose to.
Unless you just royally piss the company off, which is really kind of hard to do.
Even if you're Kid Cash, you can always come back.
Yeah, you really
can.
Out
of my head, bro.
Like, even what Kid Cash has done, he's come back to the company. It's... And again, Taylor Hendricks could be done with TNA, but not OVW. I've heard different things where she could be staying with OVW, just not with TNA and sort of those type of things. So her career's not done.
I mean, and honestly, if you're going to have these people that are sitting on the bench, they're relatively talented. Some of them are very talented. There's no reason to hold them under contract if you're not going to use them. Let them go. Let them go back out onto the indies, or maybe make a try at WWE, or make a try at ROH, or try to go where basically they can make a living, because it's not fair to the company to sit there and pay them to sit on their butt, and it's not fair to them to do that either, especially when they can go out and have another and have a chance at making some decent money out on the indies or moving up in the world.
Right, and if you think about it, the people they left go are not featured performers, and that's the one thing you have to take into account, and especially when TNA's now gone on the road. That's where the biggest money issue is. Everyone wanted them out on the road, and they've done it, but it costs a lot of money to go out on the road, and that's where all the back pay is coming from is the road expense, and that's where they have to get themselves caught up, and there's been office changeovers and everything. There's a lot going on behind the scenes at TNA where eventually they'll get caught up. Is it a bad thing they're behind in pay? Yes. Will it get caught up? Yes.
Yeah, it's never a good sign. I'm sorry.
The other thing is, okay, they took the risk to go out on the road, but take a look at how they're doing it. They're doing small arenas.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing anything that's really going to take the risk and say, okay, we need X amount of dollars to come in to cover the travel expense, to cover road, sending all the equipment on the road. They're still, basically, all they've done is they've taken the impact zone and moved it into all different areas. That's it. That's all they've done. They haven't, and what everybody wanted them to do was to expand while they're on the road. Because the product can draw. There are enough places out there that, okay, yeah, let's get over the whole TNA shit thing. Wrestling draws. It can draw well if it's advertised well, which TNA can do.
No, there's your problem. They don't.
Well, then there's the problem.
That's been the problem since day one. Advertising and advertising budget. That's where their biggest problem is. They might do it local, but on a grand scale, they can't do it, and they try to promote these shows, and they do, I would say, 3,000 to 5,000 a shot, except for that one night in Florida where it tanked, and that's some brother's fault, because it's his hometown. He should have, you know, sold the place out, brother. But point being is, and they've cut down on the road expense if you think about it, because they're no longer going live. When they first went out on the road, they went live, and that's satellite time. And the cost of venues, again, that's another expense that kind of weighs in the factor. So they're figuring themselves out, and it's a process. It's been, what, 6 months that they've been on the road? Not even?
Not even.
So I would say give them time, and just people should relax when it comes to, oh my god, TNA, oh my god, how dare they behind and pay, blah, 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 blah.
Although it's barely been 24 hours since they did the cuts and the story came out about the pay. I'm already seeing columns on wrestling sites saying TNA's dead.
It's like, oh my god, TNA's dead. Oh my god, all the TNA haters are out in full force. It's like, oh my god, look at this company. Look how bad this company is. When you have a network behind you, and the network's not going anywhere, and the network likes your product, TNA is fine. It's called give them time and have patience.
Yeah, it's...
Sorry, Lindsay.
No, I was just going to say, it's nobody questions when WWE makes cuts, or you don't hear problems with pay, but I would be curious to see how WWE does their pay. But when you see WWE making cuts, nobody's like, oh my god, WWE is going out of business. TNA is doing what they have to at this stage to save money, because they don't have the budget of a big-time promotion. There's still, as much growth as they've had, they're still a relatively small promotion, and they're growing, and they're going to keep growing, and they're doing this smart. they know they can't walk into a 20,000 seat arena and sell it out. They know they can't. So they're sticking to the smaller venues and they're going places that they know that they can draw good numbers. And last I heard, TNA was turning a profit. They weren't in the red at all. So I think this just has more to do with, well, we're not using them, so why are we holding on to them? And as far as the pay goes, I'm sure they're still sorting that whole system out. Because I know the way that they used to do it is the wrestlers would have to report their expenses back to the company, and then the company would have to process that through, and then they would get paid. And that can take a little bit of time, depending on who's handling it and what the front office is like, because last I heard, it was kind of a mess.
Yeah, their front office is a mess. And I'm saying, give them time. People who hate on TNA out there, and we know who they are, give them time.
Yeah, it's... The fact of the matter is, and this is no offense to the four people that got let go, I have the utmost respect, even though I don't like Joe and Ryan, I do respect him. They're not major performers. There really isn't that much need to be concerned at the present moment. If you saw guys like James Storm, AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, you saw those guys getting released. Not their contracts expiring, released. Then you need to start worrying. Because then there is a problem, unless somebody just really screwed up. But right. for these kinds of releases, people are really kind of making a mountain out of a molehill. And like I said on Twitter to somebody, I hate to see anybody get fired, because it sucks. But at the same time, people are freaking out over nothing. This really is nothing. And as far as we know, we don't really know the conditions of the release. It could have been that the company decided on it, or it could have been maybe some of them asked for their release, too.
I believe Taylor Hendricks may have asked for her release. It's stuff I've heard, but I'm not 100% behind it. I'm sure that was the actual truth, but that's what I did hear.
Yeah, so and I can totally understand if they would ask for it, because you're just sitting there, you're not getting on TV, you're not doing anything, you're just in Ohio Valley Wrestling. You can go a lot more places than there. It's just, it's more kind of sad for Taylor and Madison, just because the Knockouts division is hurting so badly right now. But because they're only featuring a handful of Knockouts on the show, it kind of makes sense to keep them at a small number. Because they don't have a lot of time for them.
Right. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And just my last thing on this whole TNA situation. Take it to akin to WCW. You take a look at how they start out when they were really starting to hit their stride. You know, when they debuted Nitro, it was in the Mall of America. It was a free show. Then they started doing Disney, which was a part of the attraction. It was the same type of thing TNA did. It took them 3 years to go from doing, you know, free shows and park shows to selling out, you know, 20,000 seat arenas worldwide. Mm-hmm. Rome was not built in a day. Nor does popularity come instantly.
But it's, oh my god, TNA has been around 11 years. Oh my god, look at them, they suck.
Yeah, but if you think about it, TNA started 11 years ago. They started in the Nashville Fairgrounds on essentially what would be iPay-per-view today. They did that for a while. Then they got a deal. They moved down to Orlando. They were on FSN. Mm-hmm. And then they moved up to Spike, and they were in Orlando for forever and a day on FSN and Spike, and then now they started doing house shows, and now they've moved on to live shows. Like May said, Rome is not built in a day. WWE was not built in a day.
Again, look at how WWE started out. They started out when they first went live with Raw. They were doing, what, the Manhattan Center?
Yeah.
Before they went out and did arenas after arena after arena. It takes time.
Yeah, it's... And I think in the instant culture that we have is everybody still hold, and also the fact that the IWC really unfairly holds TNA against WWE. And you think about it, WWE is getting ready to celebrate their 50th anniversary. That's how long that company's been in business, 50 years. And you look at where they started and you look at where they are now. In comparison to TNA, that's been around 11, and you look at where they started and where they are now in 11 years.
Yeah, and again, WWE was the same type of thing. It didn't... Here it is, we're at 2013, they're getting ready to do 50th anniversary. Go back 30 years and people wouldn't know what WWF was. You know, their popularity didn't take off until the early to mid-1980s.
Right.
So that's 20 years that they went before they started becoming this global phenomenon.
Yeah, so it's, I think, just in the case of TNA and all the haters and everybody's like, oh my god, TNA's done, you need to put things in perspective. And we're not TNA apologists, we don't kiss TNA's backside, but it's, you gotta put it in perspective. I'm sorry, you really do. If TNA
exactly.
Was
put the haterade down, people.
Seriously. Well, honestly, if TNA was in the process of closing or in that much trouble that it was facing having to close, I think we would know about it, quite honestly. Those kinds of massive financial problems can't be kept secret. They really can't. Somebody would let it slip.
Exactly.
Oh, no, the second they file, what's the...
Chapter 11.
Chapter 11. The second that hits, you don't think people are going to pick up on it? I'm quite sure that there are wrestling news sites that have those type of places with an alert saying if the word Total Nonstop Action Wrestling or Impact Wrestling TNA pops up here and with the word Chapter 11, they get sent an email saying it's happened.
Here's your
until
Google alert.
Until that happens, leave it alone.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think we've hit this topic long enough. Let's move on to some other strange news that's come out.
Well, in other strange news, Ricardo Rodriguez, our favorite ring announcer, got popped for wellness.
The overbound muscle head Ricardo Rodriguez popped for wellness.
Yeah, and apparently what he got in trouble for was not steroids. No, no, no. It was fat burners.
From your local GNC. Yeah.
So now he is suspended for 30 days. And, yeah. This is This seems
stupid.
Silly.
Stupid. Fat burner. Fat burner. Something that is... available, at least down here, I know, in your local supermarket.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got it at the GNC, which is a nutrition store.
Yeah. Okay, so it's something that is perfectly legal, that the American FDA approves of in certain doses, and for a guy like Ricardo, let's face it, dude's a bit chubby. If he wants to take that to help him lose weight, there's nothing wrong or illegal about it. Yet you have guys on the road. Jack Swagger! Right. Need I say more?
All right. In WWE, in playing the other side of it, if he took a fat-burning substance, the reason he probably got cut or caught for it, there was something in it that's on their ban list.
Yeah, but still, shouldn't they kind of resolve that ban list just a little bit for the fact that if it's in a legal, readily available product that they should, not suspend them for it? It's one thing if they're taking an illegal product that has it, fine. But if you're taking a perfectly viable legal option that you can buy in a store, you shouldn't be off the road for 30 days for it.
No, you shouldn't. But he is, and well, Ricardo, smart enough. Because I've seen people, baseball players, they got popped for Adderall. Really? It's like, really Adderall and now fat burner in wrestling?
Well, like you said, Rogue, it's probably a chemical that's in the fat burner that's on the no-no list. And all this is basically Ricardo screwed up, didn't check the back of the packet. That's it.
Right.
That's all it is. And 30 days for something as minuscule as not checking a packet? It's a bit harsh.
Bit harsh, but it is the letter of the law.
And yet, how many guys are in the back popping pain pills and, you know, smoking dope and everything else under the sun that have probably been caught that don't actually get anything done until they're caught by the cops?
Yeah, this is where I'm going to have to take Mace's side on this one, and especially as far as Swagger goes. His punishment is long overdue. He admitted in his testimony, it's out there for public record to see that, or at least to the cop, that he had been smoking pot. There was pot in the car. The fact that we never heard about any kind of drug test is kind of a joke, and the fact that he's never gotten any kind of suspension, any kind of punishment for it, he didn't even get fined as far as I've heard. And it could have happened, and we just didn't know about it. But I think they're legally obligated to publish that kind of thing when they do it. At least the suspensions. That's kind of hypocritical. When you've got a guy doing illegal drugs, he gets popped for him by a cop, he has to go to court for it, and he gets virtually no punishment outside the justice system, and even what the justice system gave him was a joke. Yet you've got someone like Ricardo who's taking a fat burner, which is perfectly legal, nothing wrong with it, buy it in a store, and he's off the road for 30 days. That's ridiculous. That they need to revise the policy in that case. Or they need to at least even out the system.
Plus, it's Ricardo. He's so chubby and cute. You shouldn't suspend him. He brings in the ratings, for fuck's sake. He's the only reason why Del Rio even has a job today.
Yeah, I would kind of agree with that. But, you know, obviously, honestly, that shouldn't dictate whether or not he gets suspended. It's, you did something wrong, you should be suspended for it. And that's, it should be that black and white, and there shouldn't be preferential treatment given to anybody.
True.
Because there have always been rumors surrounding the wellness program as far as, well, certain guys have been sort of given a bye because, well, they're who they are. And there's that preferential treatment, but yet other guys who maybe aren't as well liked or aren't as high up on the card are getting busted, and so they're getting suspended. Because, you know, short of Orton, you never hear of anybody else getting in trouble for it. Maybe they're not doing anything.
I will agree, at least they're following through with what they say in terms of the policy. It's just that sometimes there are cases that come up that you really have to sort of take a step back and go, well, it's something that is purely legal. Okay, yeah, it has something that's on our ban list. It's his first offense. Maybe we can let it go?
And also, I'm going to point this out. This is what's being speculated as the reason what he got popped for.
Yes. Oh, yes. I agree. Well, if it was for the pot, if it was for a fat burner and not for an illegal drug, this is stupid. If it's for anything else that is illegal, it's completely justified. It's just based on the knowledge that we have. Because I don't think, like I said, I don't think they're obligated to release what it was for, just that it has happened. But I always thought the way that the public herbs, good Lord, I can talk, the policy worked was that if you could produce, like, a prescription, or you could produce something that indicated that, yes, you were okay to be taking this, then you could.
Right.
And they let you go, so it's like, I don't understand why if he was taking fat burners, why he just didn't take the bottle and be like, this is what I was taking.
And they probably showed him, this is banned. There is also that case.
There is also that case, but it
it's that fine line you walk on when you have a policy like this. You have to follow it by the letter of the law. The whole Swagger thing, weed is, you don't get suspended for weed. That's the problem. And that's all Swagger has admitted to is weed. You only get fined.
I thought they had... No.
Weed is...
I thought they had upped that to a suspension.
No, it's only a $2,500 fine for weed.
But I
It's a three strike. It's fine, suspension, fired. Jeff Hardy.
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I know Bourne's gotten popped for it. He got popped for pot.
And how many times has Hardy been done for it?
None.
I know it used to be...
Hardy never did it. I'm going to pull up the corporate policy right now. Give me 1 second.
The way that it used to be was pot was a $2,500 fine, but because they had so many people getting caught for it, they revised the policy, I think, to make it at some point a suspension as a much more punishable offense, because basically guys like Brian Kendrick and Paul London and certain other people on the roster were getting in trouble for it, and they were just having to pay a fine, and that was it, and it wasn't stopping the problem. It was continuing to happen.
All right, here you go. Letter of the law currently on corporate.wwe.com. For a positive drug test other than marijuana and alcohol is a 30-day suspension, 60, and then fired. Part B, that's 15A. 15B, for positive marijuana drug test. In the event of a positive test for marijuana, WWE talent should be fined $2,500 per positive test, which shall be deducted from the talent's WWE talent's downside guarantee. For positive alcohol substance test, in the event of a positive test for alcohol, WWE shall fine the $2,500 per positive test, and also taken from their downside guarantee. Part 16, Section 16, self-reporting. Pain medication and other substances prohibited by the policy are abused at times, can be addictive, and a WWE talent who believes he, she may have a substance abuse issue is encouraged to self-report and get help. No penalties are imposed on WWE talent for voluntarily acknowledging a problem in the medical director prior to a drug test being performed. And then you'll go to rehab and all that fun stuff. So, yes, it says in their policy, weed is only a $2,500 fine.
I could have sworn they upped it to a suspension.
Nope.
Yeah, that's bull. I'm sorry. I do not agree with the idea of weed and alcohol being on the same level. Like, okay, alcohol, $2,500 fine. That's fine, because anybody who's ever been to it, who's ever, you know, wandered around a major city after a show, knows these guys like to go out and have a bit of a drink. Okay.
A bit.
I'm understating here.
Okay.
we know how much some boys can put away.
Yes.
You know, so if that pops up in a test, they get fined. That's understandable, because that's what they do. We, though, I would probably bump up the fine or lead to a suspension, because it is an illegal drug.
It is an illegal drug, but I think this was WWE's way of saying, we are stopping you from taking painkillers, and we know talent uses this to take care of the pain. That's why it's only a fine.
Mm. Yeah, it's still a bad way to do it, though.
It's that line. Again, it's that line
you walk
on. It's like, on one hand, we're trying to stop you here, but if you want to do this, just don't get caught. And, you know,
it's one of those. You know, here it is. We have something that's completely legal in pain pills. We know that they're addictive. That's why we have the clause that says if you report this, we send you to rehab. Understandable. But on the other hand, and we don't really want this being anywhere near it, we don't mind you taking illegal drugs. Just don't get caught by the cops, or else we're forced to have to do something.
Right.
It is condoning illegal drug use, because it's like, you know, we're only going to, you know, fine you $2,500 for something that's illegal, but yet if you're taking painkillers, which is also, if you have a fake script or whatever for painkillers, which is also illegal, we're going to suspend you for 30, 60, and then you're fired. That shouldn't be the way it is. There shouldn't be one illegal act should be put above another. It's pretty much everything that is not above board should be like, okay, this is what it is. Alcohol, because it is legal. I think the alcohol is a little bit ridiculous, honestly, because it's like, what happens if you go out. Like, just think about it, you know, the night, like, WrestleMania night, after the show, they all go out, they have a huge party, they all get wasted. Next day on Raw, oh yeah, we're gonna drug test you for alcohol, you know, and you pop for alcohol.
I think that's more of, don't show up drunk. If you show up drunk more than once, we're gonna test you, so don't show up drunk. That's all that
matters. Yeah, exactly. It's avoiding them showing up drunk, and it's avoiding them staying up all night drinking. So that things like, if they go out and party after WrestleMania, they're not, you know, having their last drink at 3 p.m. the Monday afternoon when they're supposed to start getting ready for Raw. It tells them, we don't mind you drinking, but just don't show up to work drunk. Or, you know, or hungover. You know, make sure that you have enough sense about you to stop drinking with enough time that you're sober by the time you need to perform.
Right.
That's what that is. Whereas, you know, there have been, how many people have we actually seen show up on shows high as a kite?
Yeah. I would agree to that. It's just, it's kind of ridiculous, and whatever Ricardo got suspended for, it couldn't have been pot, because they don't suspend anybody, so I don't know what else it could have been, but either way, it sounds, until we get the full details, it sounds a little ridiculous, but I think we've kind of beaten the horse into the ground, as it were.
Well, at least, just one, the last thing, at least he's decided, hey, I'm suspended for 30 days, I'm going to go hang out with the charities that I support. At least he's doing something productive with his time.
There you go.
I don't know if that was serious.
We're going to pretend it is, because Ricardo is awesome.
Because if you read his other tweets, yeah. Anyway, moving right along.
Moving right along, our last and final news item before we jump into TNA Impact tonight is as follows. For those of you that don't know, a few months ago we interviewed the one, the only, the amazing Adam Pearce, and we talked to him about his 7 levels of hate feud that he had with Colt Cabana over the last couple years, actually, and over the summer. If you did not see it, if you did not hear about it, well, this is your chance. Go to highspots.com, because it is the official place to download 7 Levels of Hate. You can do it digitally for $14.99, or you can actually buy the DVD for, I believe,
$34.99. $25. So basically $25.
Okay, so $25. I'm sorry, my bad. Go check it out. They've been putting out trailers. It was an absolutely amazing feud. Go listen to our interview with him. It's in the archives. This is an absolutely fantastic feud, just to kind of give everybody an idea. Basically, Colt Cabana and Adam Pearce, they had a best-of-7 series, and they basically did, you know, the stages of hell properly, where they stepped up each match. There was a cage match, there was a dog collar match, there was first blood match. There were all kinds of different matches. Go check them out. Go to highspots.com, go to YouTube, Google 7 Levels of Hate. It's an absolutely amazing feud. I cannot wait for it to come out. And when does it come out?
I don't think a release date has been announced, but at the point, you just check out highspots.com, and they'll give you all the information when the time is perfect, and time is right for it, and we'll keep you updated as we get more press releases and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. And it's, like I said, it's amazing. And also follow us at ScrapDaddyAP and, I believe, at Colt Cabana. Updates.
Yes, that's how you follow them on Twitter. Use the hashtag 7 Levels of Hate.
Yes. But on that note, we are going to kick it to the break, or at least our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about tonight's jam-packed, exciting Impact from Las Vegas. Lots of things happen, pretty exciting stuff.
Including a very interesting promo by one Mickie James.
Oh my god, that was fantastic. But you gotta stay tuned to hear us talk all about it, and we may even play it for you. Mm-hmm. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey, everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey, everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. And I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
If you accidentally, you know, click on a Google ad, that won't be the worst thing in the world. Now, if you're very sensitive to things, earmuff time.
Just don't do it during the show.
Just don't
click
do it during
them afterwards.
After the show. But now, if you're very sensitive, earmuffs.
Once in a while, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are asked to fill in the blank.
The World Series of Planetorial Combat. The World Series of a cop who is also a dog. The World Series of whining like a little bitch. The World Series of seduction. The World Series of racism. The World Series of grave robbing. At least four here I could imagine ESPN2 running.
And when we fill in the blank, you never know exactly what we might say.
Yeah, it's opposable thumbs. Although, if you prohibit a Spartan of Mole wearing aviator goggles, who flies the plane?
Yeah, good question.
This is
well, it's Canada that switched over to beavers with aviator goggles.
Right on 2020. What you don't know about a horse licking horse cum off its hoof could kill you.
I thought I was a sick motherfucker.
Yeah, we thought so, but anyway.
What you don't know about a horse licking cum could kill you.
Dude, playing this deck was the best decision ever.
What the fuck? That is not right.
That's awfully arousing.
Join us for Cards Against Humanity when the clock strikes evil. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, because I am absolutely oozing with this, and when I piss excellence, and when I shit charisma.
Yeah, you do.
Wow.
Yeah.
That should be on a bumper sticker.
For those just tuning in and missed the pre-show, here's a summary.
Hey everybody, this is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara, the one with the baddest, sickest finisher, Widowsteak, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com. Go there for all your memorabilia needs, and I'm kind of having to rush this because I had to run inside because all the towns are shooting off fireworks around me, and I had to go see them real quick. So.
The town's blowing up, Lindsay was worried, and all that fun, happy stuff.
But when you're hearing the big, you know, the thunk, you know they're shooting off the big fireworks, so.
Yes, they are shooting off the big fireworks. Kaboom!
So yes, so
yeah, it's when you hear kaboom! Ah, fuck me head! That's when you know they got the good ones out.
Yeah. Well, sadly, none of my neighbors have those, but some of the towns have them, and some of the very rich people that live around me have them. So, but yes, they're very, very pretty for those of you in the U.S. or for those of you that celebrate a happy Independence Day. This is the Independence Day Spectacular. You're just joining us. You missed us talking all about the news and notes of the week, and there were some very big items, so I suggest you go back and listen. But now we are going to jump right into TNA's Independence Day Spectacular. That's right. Impact was on tonight, and they were from Vegas. And, of course, this is brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.com. If you're listening to us over there, hi!
Hello. You can't see me, but I'm waving.
Yeah, you can't see us, but we're waving.
Hi.
So.
Hello, why are you in chat room?
Yeah, come to our chat room. Chat with us. Talk to us. We have an interactive one. We like it when people talk to us. So, anyway, tonight's Impact Spectacular opens with Austin Aries, your brand spanking new X Division champion. He's all smiles as he shows off his pretty title. And then he gets on the mic and he says that, well, some people love him, and some people love to boo him, but now everybody has to respect him. He says that last week he created a buzz about him around Impact Wrestling, and he outsmarted everyone because, well, that's what he does.
Right.
I tried to rip off Mark Henry, but I just couldn't do that bad of grammar. Really couldn't do it. He then discusses the creation of Option C, how he was the man who originated it, how he was the man who cashed in the X title for the World Heavyweight Championship, and that, well, he's going to do it again, and this time it's going to be on Bully, and we can bet our sweet asses on that one. Aries then calls Hulk Hogan out to the ring so they can make it official. Hogan limps out and gives Aries a mocking round of applause. The Man in Red then takes the ring and proceeds to take the belt from Austin. As Austin says, I'm ready to cash it in, I'm ready to get my shot against Bully, I want it now. But, well, Hogan sort of pulls the all in due time, my pretty moment. All in due time. Mm-hmm. Hogan basically says that, well, he's done it again. Hogan credits Aries for adding many highs and many lows to Impact Wrestling. He has indeed created a buzz, but for that wonderful buzz Austin has given them, he's committed many sins. And even in the city of sin, Austin Aries' sins are just not forgivable.
And you know what his sin was?
Fooling everyone.
Gimmick infringement.
It's just going to get to that. Hogan then proceeds to berate Austin Aries for committing the most unforgivable crime there is, gimmick infringement because, well, he stole poor TJ Perkins' suit because we cannot name the name as, well, the dude got renamed, and as people don't like the old name, we won't say it, at least not right now, and says that, well, that's a new low for Austin, and he's going to pay for it.
He's going to pay for it, but Austin Aries had a interesting rebuttal, didn't he?
He did. What was his rebuttal?
Hey, I don't infringe on people's gimmicks, brother.
By the way, there were a lot of brothers thrown around at this segment. It was kind of awesome.
That was a hell of a comeback.
Leave it to Aries. Leave it to Aries. Anyway, Hogan says that when it's up to him, option C, or I should say, it's up to him when option C starts, and well, Hogan's not ready to start it just yet. In fact, he's more inclined to start it later tonight. At the end of the show, as a matter of fact.
At the end of the night, brother, that's when you make the decision.
Yeah, Hogan then sets up a three-way match for the title, which will be the main event of the evening. He introduces us to the participants of the match. Good lord, I don't know why I can't talk tonight. We have the new and improved rebranded Suicide, who is now called Manic.
Yay!
And, of course, Chris Sabin. Austin now has two dark clouds coming at him. They're circling around him. Both Manic and Sabin have the chance to right the wrongs that Austin Aries has committed against them. Manic for the gimmick infringement. No, I could have sworn it was Suicide. And Sabin for, of course, not getting pinned last week. Sabin then takes the mic and says that Aries really is the greatest scam that ever lived. He talks about how he was gone for a year with his injuries, that he was out, that he never thought he would come back, and that when he did, he earned that belt, and Austin didn't. And, well, Austin really can't do anything to stop him from winning it back tonight.
Nope.
This is a really good opening segment.
Good opening segment. It was a very interesting opening segment. The only problem is, you know, you've revealed who the guy was, so why put him under a mask? That's, you know.
Yeah, when... I'm going to say it. I'm going to admit to it. I did read the spoilers for this. I read them when they came out last week. Or earlier this week, I should say, over the weekend, whatever you want to call it. That when they said that they introduced TJ Perkins as Manic, I thought, okay, well, are they going to have him come out from the Suicide costume? Because when they said that the character was gone, I got the impression that the actual character was gone, and that you were just going to have TJ Perkins come out as himself, because they showed him out of costume.
Right. You could have just said, you could have just had him with, you know, being up and, you know, you didn't have to show him. You could have just said it was not the right one, but now they reveal his name, and cool, you want to call the guy Manic? Call Manic and have him give him a look, and no. He's TJ Perkins on their mask. Whatever.
Basically, all they did to the Suicide costume was take Suicide off the front.
Pretty much.
That's really all they did to it, and the reason why the name got changed is because people complained and they didn't like it, so they changed the name to something different. Which, you know, it keeps TJ Perkins on TV, that's great, but it seems a little silly that if you're going to change the name of the character, you're going to show the guy that plays the character out of costume, and you're going to have him talk about it, that, you know, I don't know, maybe you should not put him back in the costume?
That would have been smart.
Am I wrong on that?
No, you're not wrong on that. But anyway, good opening segment. Sets up the main event for the evening.
It does, but now we move on to an even better segment. Because backstage, the roving camera is out and about. They knock on a door, and, well, one Christopher Daniels opens the door. He wants to know why they're being disturbed, that they're always in everybody's business. Daniels basically tells them to F off. And the guy corrects Daniels by saying, well, we want Kaz. Kaz then appears over the guy's shoulder. They ask him about his match tonight with AJ. Kaz says that he doesn't care which version of AJ he gets, whether it's the emo one or the Backstreet Boy one. Doesn't matter.
It wasn't Backstreet Boy. That Justin Bieber wannabe.
Oh, the Justin Bieber wannabe. My bad.
Yeah, update the reference. Justin Bieber.
Sorry, all I heard was boy band, so it was... Mm-hmm. Sorry. My fault. Anyway, the Justin Bieber version of AJ. Kaz says he's going to Bound for Glory, and he's winning him a belt. And then they tell them to get out of their face, because this is a private locker room, and they still have to get ready.
Yep.
This is Daniels and Kaz at their finest. Seriously. And
but,
of course...
But we thought that was funny, and then they dropped a Superman reference in there, I believe, as well.
Yeah, to get the full impact of this, go find it on YouTube, because we can't... There are a couple segments tonight we really cannot do justice to. They were just that entertaining. This is one of them.
This is one of them, but we do have audio for the other, which we will get to in just a little bit. But next, we got some action.
We do. But before we get to the action, not only is it Independence Day, but, well, today was a special day, wasn't it?
It was?
It was, because it was Throwback Thursday.
Oh, that's right. Throwback Thursday.
And in honor of Throwback Thursday and the fact that, well, they were in Las Vegas, Daniels and Kazarian decided to pay homage to two Las Vegas icons and go back to a time when magic was, well... magical. That's right, you have AJ come out, and then you have Daniels and Kaz come out dressed as Siegfried and Roy, complete with a stuffed white tiger.
Which Daniels was petting at times.
I thought he was petting it the whole time, actually.
Alright, the whole time. Well, I just remember seeing at times he was petting it.
Yeah. And this was just... absolutely hilarious. They get on the mic, they cut a promo. Christopher Daniels can make women's underwear magically disappear with just a swivel of his hips. Christy Henry was in the ring, he swiveled his hips. We have no idea if it works because, well, I don't want to know if she had anything on under that skirt or not.
And Kazarian basically said, you know, come this October, he'll magically put some gold around his waist.
Yes, yes, he will, to which we hope he will.
But then we got some action. AJ Styles, Kazarian. Solid matchup from these two. You know, what do you expect from Daniels and... Kazarian and Styles.
Yeah, you really can't go wrong with these two. I mean, you just really can't. It wasn't an overly long match, but it was a really very good match.
Yeah, it was a nice match. And if when you keep score at home in your little scoreboard thingy, AJ Styles... via submission earns 10 points.
So he's getting his name out there. He's catching up. Could AJ Styles be the dark horse in the Bound for Glory series?
We shall see.
Yes, we shall. Up next, we have Mickey walking backstage. She asks the Sagehand for a ladder as she's headed to the ring. What could Mickey James want with a ladder?
Good question.
Then we get Chavo pumping up Hernandez, and then we get what is arguably, well, promo of the night.
I know you are all wondering what I'm doing standing out here with this lovely ladder right here. But I'm here to tell you a little story. You see, to get to the top of the Knockouts division, you have to crawl, scratch, even climb your way to the top. You know, I am the one who is a national recording country music artist. I'm the one being asked to walk the red carpets. I'm the one who brands are coming to represent their products in national commercials. In fact, if you look on that marquee out there, that is my name. And in case I forgot to mention, I am also your Knockouts champion. Thank you. I know. But you see, even though I beat Velvet Sky with pretty much my eyes closed last week, all I keep hearing about over and over and over again is this ladder match next week to see who will go on to face me for my Knockouts Championship. So, Gail, Taryn, I want you to listen up. I want you to come out here and tear the house down, break a leg. In fact, break everything. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Because you will never make the history that I have made. You will never be as great as me. So, whoever wins that match, just know this. I'm going to take you from the top of this ladder all the way down to the bottom, breaking your pretty little face on each and every single rung until I am standing on top of this division as I rightfully should, as your heartbreaking, history-making Knockouts champion of the century, Mickey James.
I love this promo. I kind of want to have its kittens.
That was great stuff by Mickey.
I really love how they're pushing the Knockouts. They're pushing them hard, and they're actually advertising the match. Wasn't even on this show, but they're pushing this match really, really, really hard.
Mm-hmm. They are indeed pushing it very hard, and from all accounts, what we will see next week is a really good match.
Yeah, I was already excited because you're going to see Gail and Taryn go in a ladder match, which when was the last time you saw two chicks do a ladder match? But
before you even continue, tell me about 2 months ago when you said, I'm looking forward to a Taryn Terrell match.
Yeah, I was not that high on Taryn Terrell either, and she did a lot to impress me at Slammiversary, so bravo to her. But I'm just excited because it's like you're having the Knockouts go in a ladder match. I love it when they let the girls do this kind of stuff.
They're giving the Knockouts time to have competitive, hard-hitting matches, and that's all you can possibly ask for.
Yes, that is my biggest gripe about wrestling, is that the girls don't get as fair of a shake as the guys, but we can go into that later. That's a whole completely different rant. But anyway, wonderful job by TNA, fantastic promo by Mickey James to hype this match, build excitement for it, and hopefully it's as wonderful, if not as better on TV, than as the spoilers say it was in person.
Correct.
After this, well, Big O gets eliminated from Gut Check.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right.
Bruce Pritchard, Dana Davis, and Al Snow talked for a little bit. We saw Al Snow's ugly jacket, and the Big O was gone.
Oh my god, that was an ugly jacket.
Then we have Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, and Sting arrive and saying the group is growing, and the fourth member of the main event, Mafia, will be revealed tonight.
Yay.
But then we move on to our next contest, Battle for Glory Series matchup. Hernandez with Chavo Guerrero takes on Jay Bradley.
Hernandez won. Honestly.
This is where we remind you, Hardcore Justice 2 premieres tomorrow. Check your local cable and satellite providers for time and availability. Go to ImpactWrestling.com for more details. But in the Battle for Glory series, Hernandez finally gets on the board and gets 7 points.
Go, Hernandez! Yay! I don't know. That's all I got.
That's all the energy you can muster for that one.
I'm sorry. I know they tried. I know they really tried, and I have no right to critique two guys wrestling, but when they hit that first shoulder block, and that sucker was just weak as hell, it's like, I'm done.
Finished.
So done.
Completely finished. Yeah, makes sense.
Come on, hit him with some force. It's like, because you got, Hernandez is a big dude, and Jay Bradley isn't small. So, you know, you think, okay, two big guys, they should be able to mix it up pretty good. No.
There was Chavo interference, and that allowed Hernandez to pick up the victory. But then, Lindsay, we go backstage for an interesting promo with Bully Ray and the Aces and Eights, don't we?
We did. We have Bully speculating about Austin Aries, and, well, most of the aces are interested except for one, Wes. Instead, he wants to know about Brooke. What's up with Brooke?
What is up with Brooke?
Bully tells him that there's a time for club business and there's a time for personal business, and Brooke is personal business. Bully then goes on to wonder if Hogan was in on the whole Aries situation all along and they're just getting played. Wes then asks about Brooke's engagement and what's going on with that. Like the little added touch that they're letting the real life play into the storyline. Bully then corrects Wes once again and tells him it's personal business and to back off. Then they talk about the three-way main event, and, well, Doc wants to know who Bully thinks is going to win the match. And Bully responds by saying, well, wouldn't it just be a shame if nobody won the match? To which they all laugh.
This is where I go to say, if no one won the match, that means Austin Aries would have retained the belt, and he would have been able to cash in. But that's just my using the L word. Logic.
Shush your logic.
I'm sorry, I'm just using logic. It happens in wrestling. If you beat up the challenger and the champion still retains his title. But they'll be at ringside to make sure it doesn't happen. Yes, Matt Goldberg. Logic.
Hi, Matt. You're just in time for us to talk about the next match. it's funny how he shows up right when we're about to talk about Tara, the star of Terrified. Now, the new documentary by Matt Goldberg coming somewhere soon.
Somewhere sometime soon. But it's on IMDb, so check it out.
Again, we want the thank you in the Oscar speech.
There you go.
And money.
And
when we say thank you, we mean money.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least a date with James Storm. Thank you.
No. A bouquet of green bills. Anyway,
moving on.
TNA Tag Team Champions. TNA Tag Team Champions, James Storm and Gunner. Take on the bromance, Robbie E. and Jesse, with Tara in their corner.
Can I talk about the entrance for a minute?
Yeah, if you must.
That was a little, awkward, I think is the way I'm gonna put it. Tara looked fantastic, by the way. But yeah, especially the ending part where she goes between them and she slaps her hands on their asses, that was just a little, yeah. Like, she looked really uncomfortable doing that.
Right. I didn't see the entrance. I was in another room as they were coming to the ring. So I can't comment.
Yeah, she basically, for those of you that didn't see it, or did see it, whatever, basically you have Tara, Jesse, and Robbie E. get in the ring, and they stand shoulder to shoulder facing Tara. Tara pushes them apart, and then she gets down on one knee and puts her hand on both their asses. And it was really, I don't know whether it was kind of a last minute thing, I don't know if it was impromptu, I don't know what it was, but it looks very awkward, and she was very hesitant in doing it, so I don't know what the deal with it was, but it didn't play off as well as I think it probably could have. But that's just me. Because I notice really stupid stuff like that.
Right.
Yes, King Kittens, you do. You have to watch it.
Yes. So, anyway, super kicks galore, kicks to the head galore, James Storm and Gunner win after a unique finishing maneuver.
Yes. Yay, Stormy. Yay! All right.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on backstage, we have Jeff Hardy. He's talking about Joseph Park, and while he doesn't know a lot about Joseph Park except that he's related to Abyss, so Hardy's going to get his points and get out. Nothing really to write home about. And then we get to, well, another really good promo, or series of promos, I should say, with one Main Event Mafia.
Yes, yes, we do.
You see, but Joe came to me earlier this week with the idea of who the fourth member of the Mafia should be, and when he told me, I thought to myself, damn, that's a good idea. You see, many would pick this wrestler as the future of Impact Wrestling, but I say he is the here and now. Ladies and gentlemen, the fourth member of the Main Event Mafia, Magnus!
The man that we have been so...
Now, we should say Kurt Angle talked basically what he talked about last week. And what did Joe really have to say? Because I thought this would have a little bit of what Joe had to say.
Basically, excuse me, something almost went down the wrong pipe. Basically, Joe just came out and he tells Vegas that, you know, once again the Mafia is in charge, at least for the night. And he said that as of late he's sort of been a loner, but lately there seems to be a numbers game, especially with the aces and eights. And he says that, well, the aces' numbers are too great even for him to kick some cowards' butts. So he found him a crew that is good at beating up cowards. Joe then vows to run Shaw through the Bound for Glory series and take Bully's title. And then that's basically where Angle picks up. He puts Joe over. He says why he suggested Joe for the Main Event Mafia, which is because Joe is just awesome. That's the best way to sum it up. And then that, you know, Angle says Joe made the fourth selection. They also noted, before we go back to it, that they said the previous Main Event Mafia was made up of former heavyweight champions. They are not going with that model this time. They are obviously, they are instead kind of taking a no-nonsense approach. So basically, there is no qualifier that, or no common qualifier really at this stage to be in the Main Event Mafia, other than to just be badass and awesome. So
this is where we now pick up with Magnus?
Yes.
When I was approached by these three men to join the most prestigious group in sports entertainment today, I had to think about it. I had to think about it for about a split second. Because when opportunity knocks, you answer the door. I answered the door. If you don't believe me, take a look at the Bound for Glory series leaderboard. And if you still don't believe me, ask these three men. Ask the Icon. Without a shadow of a doubt, one of the greatest the industry has ever seen, Sting. Ask the only Olympic gold medalist in sports entertainment history. Bell to bell, there is nobody greater than Kurt Angle. And where do I even begin with this man? In 2012, I was put on the map by my association and rivalry with the most dangerous man in the business, the Samoan submission machine, Samoa Joe. And I thank you for that forever and a day, my brother. But it's not just about me. It's not just about the Main Event Mafia. It's about the aces and eights, which is why I signed up, bought in to the mission statement to put an end to the reign of terror of aces and eights for good.
July 18th in Louisville, Kentucky is the next time we will have a world title match. And Aces and Eights, Mafia hereby challenges you to not a match, but a fight. Now as for tonight, right here in Las Vegas, Bully Ray! Bully has asked the question, what if there's not a winner tonight in the main event? Well, guess what? You enter the main event, Mafia, and tonight, right here in Las Vegas, in the main event, we will make sure that you have a winner!
And there you have it.
One, that picture, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Two, kind of an interesting outcome of that promo. It seems that, well, the Aces and Eights are going to have a fight on their hands when they arrive in Louisville.
Mm-hmm. Louisville shaping up to be a huge show for Destination X.
Should be interesting. Main Event Mafia making their authority felt early.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fantastic promo. Go watch it in full if you can. Like I said, the promo work tonight was absolutely fantastic. And in the segments where they had promos, they were extremely effective, and we just simply cannot do them justice. And by the way, Kate Kittens just watched the Mickie James stuff. Go watch it, because, yes, she does look very fine on that ladder. Props to her for climbing the ladder in the heels.
We move on, and we have Jeff Hardy taking on Joseph Park in the Bound for Glory series matchup. This matchup was pretty good. Pretty good match. And then, well, Joseph Park actually came off and hit that top rope move. I forget what he calls it.
The big splash. The closing argument.
The closing argument, the big splash off the middle rope. One, two, and Jeff Hardy was able to kick out. But, Park took an elbow and then a whisper and a win and then ended up with a bloody lip. And when blood shows up, well,
we all know what happens when blood shows up at Joseph Park.
He snapped, and unfortunate for him, he snapped on the wrong person. He attacked the referee with the Black Hole Slam, which caused a disqualification. And in the Bound for Glory series, when someone gets disqualified, you lose 10 points. So Joseph Park now is minus 10.
I have to applaud the way that he sold this, because he's like, no, it wasn't me. I didn't do that. I don't know what you're talking about. And again, this kind of ties back into another conversation that you and I had last night, which eventually we should have. But what was interesting was the way Hardy sold this. Hardy did the crazy hand motion as he's getting his arm raised by the replacement referee who called the DQ. When Jeff Hardy calls you crazy, you're crazy.
Right. And for the record, Jeff Hardy wins by disqualification. He earns 3 points for the disqualification victory. Now, so this is something that I haven't heard, Lindsay hasn't heard, no one has heard unless you've gone to their YouTube page. But Joseph Park reacts to the outcome of what happened. I think we should take a listen.
Yes.
Looks like he's got it sized up.
Let's skip into this a little bit so we don't actually hear the highlights. There we go.
Why? You know, I'm a smart man, I'm educated, but this stuff's starting to get a little confusing.
That's a snap! He's lost control!
I don't understand. Well, no, I don't. And when I came to, he was slammed there. I swear to you, on a stack of Bibles, I didn't do that. Joseph Park did not do that. How did that happen? I mean, Jeff Hardy and the other referees told me I'm the one that did it, but I don't believe it because I don't remember doing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, your winner by disqualification, Jeff Hardy!
with Joseph Parkey lost control. He screwed himself in the Bound for Glory series. Gets disqualified. That's a 10-point zonk.
I feel fine, other than the fact that I just lost 10 more points. I mean, I'm down 17 points right now. And let's face it, I'm not the toughest guy in the world. But I promise you one thing. That Joker's Wild Tournament is for 25 big ones, buddy. 25 BFG points. So I don't need to tell you how important it is that I win that. Or I should say we win that.
We.
Interesting.
So this just kind of further... God damn it, you are a mole.
I like how I'm the mole when this was taped days ago. Anyway.
You are the mole. No. Mole. Moly, 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 mole.
No.
You have an inside track on that.
I am not the mole.
By the way, for those of you wondering what the hell we're talking about, Rock and I had a very long, drawn-out discussion about the Joseph Park character and really the split personalities, and that ties into the whole James Mitchell storyline.
And we'll probably get into it more either next week or the week after, all things, depending on what ends up happening.
Yeah, because after hearing that, we're now having that discussion. I am putting my foot down.
Yeah, like I said, either this next week or the week after, all things pending, Lindsay.
Yes, all things pending. So, after Joseph Park sadly screwed the pooch on that one, we have Ryan Howe getting screwed over. He's turned down by the TNA judges. Not surprised. He's booed unmercifully throughout the segment by the crowd, and that actually turns Danny Davis's decision, as the crew was booing him while he was, quote-unquote, kicking out, and Davis admired the fact that Howe was not bothered by this. So, but unfortunately, Pritchard and Snow both turned him down, and, well, everybody lost their stuff.
The crowd was chanting no the entire time, and they did their best to try to minimize the crowd in this one by playing the dramatic music really, really loud. Because, according to all reports, they were really, really loud against him, negatively.
Yeah. I mean, really.
Now, the one thing they said is, they asked the question, did we see the best performance you've ever done? And he said yes. Really? Best performance when you lost. One, you lost. Two, you looked like crap. Best performance.
Better, but what the hell else is he going to compare it to? Is time on Tough Enough?
It looked better on Tough Enough.
I was actually waiting for a Skidmark reference. I really honestly was.
Anyway, yeah, Ryan Howe is not moving on in good check.
No, if it were any other type of show, he might be moving on to the next round, but like everything else in Vegas, Ryan Howe is staying in Vegas. Great line by Bruce Pritchard. Never fails to let me down.
Nope.
After this, we get, once again, backstage time with the Aces and Eights. Bully looks at his watch and says, it's main event time. He suggests that they go out and watch no one win the match. Steve then pulls Bully aside and, well, begins to politic for the VP position. He says that he can take out Main Event Mafia and he can stop the match and make sure nobody wins and to let him do it. But, well, Mr. Anderson doesn't really like that. In fact, he comes up and he mocks Steve quite harshly. The two then get in a slight verbal altercation, to which Bully finally separates them and tells them both to STFU. He says if they concentrated on the Main Event Mafia and taking them down as much as they did stabbing each other in the back, then, well, the Mafia wouldn't be much of a problem, would they? He suggests that, you know, they do what they do best. They go out there, they piss someone off, they raise a little hell, and they generally do whatever they want. To which Steven Anderson and the rest of the Aces both agree, or I should say all agree, and, well, they head out to the ring.
They are at a ringside. It's main event time for the X Division Championship. Manic, Chris Sabin, Austin Aries. Great match.
Fantastic match.
Very enjoyable, very entertaining. There was an interesting spot where Manic dove over the top rope, got caught, and got powerbombed by Doc on the outside.
Yeah, that was just, like, sick looking.
Mm-hmm. But in the end, who came out on top?
Well, one Chris Sabin came out on top in a really sick finish where basically he gave Austin Aries the Hail Sabin off the top rope.
Mm-hmm. So Chris Sabin is your new X Division champion, which means it's the end of the night.
Well, wait. I should say Sabin didn't exactly do it alone, did he?
No, he didn't.
He kind of had a little help. The Mafia came through on their promise. They, once, well, Manic got taken out, the Mafia made an appearance, and they ran aces and eights off, and then everybody was standing around the ring. At one point, Sting was up on the apron. He stayed right by the ring the whole time. And, well, they held each other off to allow Sabin to pick up the victory, but I guess that's the close of the show, isn't it?
No, it's not the close of the show because it's the end of the night, which means at the end of the night, a decision has to be made, and, well, Sabin basically said, told Ray that he might be very well looking at the new World Heavyweight Champion.
Uh-oh. Aces and Eights have got some problems.
So for the moment, Chris Sabin is your X Division Champion. For the moment, because it looks like he's going to be cashing in at Destination X.
Go, Sabin, go!
Good show tonight.
This is a really great show. Had a nice feeling to it. Didn't really drag in any specific parts. They used really everybody for just the right amount of time. Especially when you think about Aces and Eights and Main Event Mafia, they all got equal time. They all had sort of that equal weight. So they're establishing the Mafia. They're making them extremely strong as contenders to go against Aces and Eights. They built Sabin nicely. And this was over. Oh crap! Cops just got called.
What you gonna do when the cops get called?
Didn't do it. Wasn't there. Anyway, great show. Wonderful show. So, yeah. Good on TNA. I'm looking forward to actually seeing next week's more. Just because if this show was this good, I'm really excited to see what they do next week.
Ladder match next week. Should be fun. Should be a fun time at Impact Wrestling Thursday night. Tune in. We'll be here recapping it for you.
Yes, but now we're going to kick it to our second and final break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to have, of course, Tweet of the Week, some of our favorite 4th of July treats as our question of the night, and our discussions. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Red, white, and blue. People shuffling.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for some wrestle talk? I wonder how many people we lost because we started talking hockey. Four. Fucking Canadians taking over. What the hell?
Oh, what's he doing? Stop. He doesn't work Saturdays.
Yeah, I'm not working. I'm having fun. This is me having fun. See, when I have fun and I'm loose and relaxed, you know.
You sound like you're having fun.
I sound like I'm having fun. And I don't sound like I'm intentionally making bad jokes so you guys can pick on.
Then step into the ring Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, for Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yes, tune in to listen to Tim Stein crack bad jokes and pretend he's funny. He's my neighbor. He's poor. He cannot afford that pot. He only has that pot now. No, that is girl's like pot. Go have a Coke and a smile.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Again, if you accidentally click a Google ad one day while you're on the website, not during a live show, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Just saying.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Radio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, memlanepromo.com. Go check them out for all your memorabilia needs. And yes, we are now the crime-free show as my neighbors are getting arrested for shooting off illegal fireworks. Quite awesome. Anyway. Anyway, if you're just joining us, you missed our awesome segment about Impact and, of course, the news and notes of the week, so definitely go check that out. But now we're going to take a little break from wrestling, at least as far as talking about it, discussing it. And we're going to do one of our most favorite segments of all, which is, of course, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So can I go, can I go, can I go, can I go, can I
yes.
go, can I go, can I go?
Go.
Okay. Where should we begin? Okay, we'll start with the Great Khali, because the Great Khali says things. Michael Jackson knocked my door. He said I went learn Punjabi dance. I said, I'm busy now, but I promise I'll teach you. Craig Kelly says, please, do exercise, not drugs.
Thanks, Kelly.
This message for kids, don't use drugs. AJ Lee 2 replies to Dolph Ziggler, I hate when you make me call you Dr. Feelgood. This is a DM, right? He replies, then why am I in the latex nurse outfit? So WWE asked the question, there's something different about AJ Lee on SmackDown. Her reply, boobs? Adam Pierce replies, Marie Callas was, you know, made some sort of comment and it said, watching at Scrap Daddy AP so good, exclamation point. He replied, that's what she said. AJ Lee, that AT&T commercial with the guy in the suit talking to a round table of kids doesn't make me want AT&T more. It makes me want kids less. Colt Cabana, put CM Punk in Marine 5. His reply, CM Punk replied, what did I do to you?
Oh.
Scott Hall replying to Shawn Michaels. By the way, they're all getting together at some point. He replies basically, will do, Shawn. Lots of catching up to do. Let's have a big meal and talk about how cool we are and bury all the young guys. And finally, from Landstorm. Wouldn't be, you know, Tweet of the Week without Landstorm. Happy 4th of July, everyone. That whole un-American thing, I was only kidding. That's what I got for Tweet of the Week.
All right, well, Mace, do you have anything before I go?
Unfortunately, nothing interesting. My Twitter feed seems to turn into nothing but cat videos and video game journalist stuff this week.
Ooh. Alright, well, I've got... Let's see. AJ Lee, I'm only allowed to use the nickname Ziggy. Del R... dot dot dot. Wait. Dolph is stripping? Everybody shut up. Shut your faces. CM Punk. Don't look now, Punk. The straight edge life is exactly how, in the Bible scripture, we should live. To which he replies, then maybe stop drinking wine in church. Christopher Daniels. Happy Canada Dry. Everyone enjoy your ginger ale responsibly. Drew McIntyre. To Wade Barrett. Merry Independence Day.
Well played.
Yes, well played. I saw that this afternoon. I was like, favorite!
Favorite.
Will Wheaton. Happy birthday, America. As a friend, I have to tell you, we're not really living up to the ideals we laid out in 1776. We can do better. And finally, Big E Langston. Some people will tell you to be yourself. Not me. I've based my personality on Michael Clark Duncan's character in The Slammin' Salmon.
Well, there you go.
There we go. That is Tweet of the Week, at least for us. I've got a couple, let's see, entries from Jersey Girl, where she says, let's see, AJ Lee, happy army crawling under my furniture to coax out a tiny shaking dog who's deathly afraid of fireworks day. Jeff Dunham, Jessica Simpson gave birth to a baby boy. Kim and Kanye suggest they name it the kid Bart.
Any others?
And that's it.
Tweet of the Week brought to you by Crash Collision Wrestling. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for all updates on Crash Collision Wrestling and figure, what's this figure thing called?
Figure Wednesdays and Fridays.
Figures Wednesdays and Fridays. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211.
We're fired.
We're fired. I'm fired because, you know, that whole thing. But, so, there you go. Tweet Wrestling Figure Wednesday. And now Fridays. But whatever. Got the point. Go to youtube.com/mbg1211. Hey, I'm least plugging your damn YouTube. Shut up. Shut it.
Tommy, corner. Corner. Just push cane kittens over and you both can fit in there.
MBG 1211. There you go. Done. Anyway, corner, people. Anyway, we got to get to a discussion. By the way, reminder, our question of the night is as follows. What is your favorite treat on for the 4th of July? We will get to that in a bit, but we're going to get into some discussions now, Lindsay. So where do you want to start?
Well, why don't we talk about the one that's relevant to the news, which is, of course, we teased it at the beginning of the show. There are rumors, and these are only rumors. They are not based in fact, that there is the potential of Sting going to WWE. And what is fueling these rumors is, one, the fact that they used him in the title promo segments in Monday night where they were highlighting, in specific, the WCW title. And there are now stories leaking out that there has been some contact made. Official negotiations have not been opened. I don't believe they can be. But that Sting has not sent feelers, but there have been questions asked. There have been some conversations. We don't know what the exact deal is, but there are just rumors right now, completely, totally, we don't know if they're true, of Sting potentially going to WWE when he is done with TNA.
Right.
And this led to two interesting discussions between Rock and I last night. We may have to put the other one on hold, that or we do this one kind of quick. And I hope Mace will join us in this, where Sting is definitely not in his prime anymore. He doesn't work a full-time schedule in TNA. He doesn't work a full wrestling schedule in TNA. He is the antithesis of a featured performer in TNA. So it's kind of questionable why WWE would really want to go after him at this stage, especially given his age, other than for name value. And so this kind of leads to the question of, well, what does WWE do with Sting?
Yeah, what do you actually do with Sting? So I'm going to post this to the chat room right now. What do you do with Sting? Who do you want to see him fight? There you go. Undertaker. Thank you, Matt Goldberg, for playing along. Thank you, Tommy, for playing along. Thank you, everyone, for playing along and saying Undertaker. Think about it, folks.
Thank you, Parrots.
You play along so well. Undertaker, think about the matchup that would happen between those two.
I'm thinking about it.
A lot of smoke and mirrors will need to be played. If you think about this is where
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. There goes Undertaker's hip. There goes Sting's knee.
Mm-hmm.
There goes Sting's back. Let's take his shoulder. Yeah. It's who falls apart first in that match, unfortunately.
Alright, and this is good that we have Mace here, because this is a question I want to pose to you since you're the WCW guy. Yes, I'm cornering you into a WCW guy. Deal with it. Go back in time to when Sting was his end of his run in WCW. What type of matches was he having?
Pretty much the same matches he was having now in TNA. Very safe, very secure, very short.
And when they're long, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors and a lot of brawling.
A lot of delays, lots of brawling, lots of rest holds, yeah.
When you go to now transition into a WWE style, a lot of brawling, a lot of rest holds. Not sort of how they do things. Especially when Sting brawls around the building.
Yeah. A lot of the smoke and mirrors that Sting usually uses don't transition well into the big arenas that WWE likes to hold things in. And I'll be honest, I think Undertaker outpaces him.
Mm-hmm.
Robotic hip and all.
Yeah. But the question is, basically,
I would not trust Sting with anybody on the roster. I definitely wouldn't trust him with Undertaker, because if Undertaker goes for the dive to the outside, he's a dead man, literally, because Sting would drop him. I'm sorry, Sting would not have the get up and go to go with anybody on that roster. Like, you might be able to get something that looks half decent if you put him up against someone like CM Punk. Maybe Daniel Bryan, Kane. John Cena. Carry.
I'll get to that in a second. John Cena in a second. Let's go back to CM Punk for a minute. Which way is CM Punk leaning right now?
He's heading more face.
Say the idea is to bring Sting in next year for WrestleMania. Since you're flip-flopping a guy, if you keep flip-flopping a guy, would you really flip-flop CM Punk back to being a heel?
No.
So
you save that for 31.
If you save that for 31, but
mm-hmm.
bringing in, say you go with CM Punk and Sting, it kind of, you know, using CM Punk in that role kind of doesn't work, because Sting was going to come in that face. And there's no way in hell they can ever bring Sting in as a heel. Right, Lindsay?
Correct. He's just too over. Especially if he comes in with the Crow gimmick. It's going to be too over.
And that's... Thank you for segueing to my next question. Do they bring him in the Crow gimmick? Because as everybody knows, when you come from WCW... or anywhere else...
You can't bring him in as anything less... I'm sorry.
I understand it.
Even the Joker variant that he does now, definitely can't do the beach bum Sting, because let's face it, he doesn't have the body that looks like it's been anywhere near a muscle beach or anything like that. You bring him in as the Crow.
You bring him in as the Crow. I get
but
that.
You don't do this. But you don't do Dark. You don't do 97-98.
You don't do 97-98, and you don't. Really turn. It's like the best way to put it is, if he comes in as the Crow, would WWE allow it to get over?
They'd have no choice. The second he walks out, he's over, whether they like it or not.
Right.
He's one of those guys. He's up there with like your RVDs and guys like that. Guys that you know, no matter how hard you try to bury a push or whatever, he's going to get over just by walking through a curtain.
Mm-hmm.
That's the legacy that Sting has on this business. he is a guy who will be over no matter where he is just by setting foot out of the curtain. They can't do anything to squash it.
Right. Now, circling back to the everyone wants the match, Undertaker. That shouldn't happen. You mentioned no. John Cena.
However, before we jump on John Cena, and boy, that sounded bad.
And clip.
And clip. Jersey Girl actually had a good idea of who to bring him up against, and this is probably the first person I'd feud Sting with if they brought him into the company. Just due to, you know, you can play off a bit of history. It's Jericho.
Now that you bring, that's a good. Again, we went through all these scenarios last night, which is awesome that everyone's bringing them back up. We posed like 100 questions to each other and had no answers. So this is always, this is good.
And I brought up Jericho and he shot it down.
I shot Jericho down because if you're bringing in Sting, you're bringing in him and facing off with Jericho. Isn't that kind of sort of having him face off against a WCW guy? I know Jericho's been WWF for hell of a while.
That's the point, though. And with Jericho, you know, you put Jericho as the heel for this one. You have the fact, you have a history of the playoff of Jericho never got to be a main eventer in WCW because of guys like Sting. You put the blame on Sting in Jericho's mind, and you could have some awesome promos from Jericho to get that fact over. And yes, it plays off the whole nostalgia thing, but let's face it. When Sting comes into the WWE, you're going to have to play on that nostalgia at some point. So why not get it out of the way first with a guy like Jericho, who can cut good promos, who can still wrestle really well, who has wrestled Sting before, and can carry Sting if need be.
That's a good point. Now I'm going to counter to back to a name Lindsay brought up as kind of the conclusion we thought. When you look at the heels and look at the faces and where they stand, Lindsay brought up the name Randy Orton.
Play off the NWA connection with Sting and Bob.
No. Legend Killer. Think about it. Sting's the only one he hasn't gotten.
Which would work if they were still promoting the whole Legend Killer gimmick.
Well, hell, the Viper gimmick isn't getting him anywhere. So why not? I mean, because they need a heel. Sting will come in his face. They need a heel. Orton wants to go heel. Orton is a fantastic heel. And you could have him go back to that Legend Killer, at least for a little bit. Or at least tie it in where he talks about how he took all these people down. And he took Hogan down. He took Taker down. He took RVD down. He took all these people down. And the only one he's never gotten is Sting.
And believe me, I'm right there with you. I like the idea. The only problem is you have to build to this point. You have to... If you're going to revive the Legend Killer gimmick, you need him to take out guys leading up to Sting.
And that's how you set
it. Zero to Sting.
Right. You said it, that's how you set the angle in motion. You've re-established the gimmick, and that's his heel turn, and et cetera, et cetera.
Now, Kane Kittens, good idea for a one-off match, but not a feud.
Because Ambrose isn't on his level.
Yeah, Ambrose is still an up-and-comer. So... Yeah, putting him up against Sting, it'll be a great one-off, but you can't use it as a program, and you definitely can't use it to elevate Ambrose, because then that drags Sting down.
Now, I'm going to pose this scenario out there, kind of, sort of, not a scenario, but a question. How long do you bring Sting in for?
It depends. I could see him taking a... one of those part-time schedules, sort of like Brock Lesnar and The Rock. You know, you definitely got to have him working, say, Royal Rumble through WrestleMania. you know, at least the pay-per-views plus maybe a couple of Raws in between.
You have him work every TV, not wrestling on TV, but, you know, being there.
Well, you don't even have to have him working every TV. You have him working the big programs. You know, you have him work Royal Rumble, WrestleMania would be his sort of quote-unquote full-time schedule. From WrestleMania through to SummerSlam, very periodic leading into SummerSlam.
What I meant, working every TV in that Mania, the Rumble Mania period.
Oh, yeah. That's well, maybe every second. Maybe every second TV.
And then you work him into the big matches like you do with Brock and The Rock and the Who Has and the whatnot. The Triple H's and everything like that.
Yeah. Even on that schedule, you're probably looking at maybe two years, three maximum.
But can... I wanted to get Lindsay in this. Can you really go 2-3 years with him?
At his age, if he's not wrestling frequently, maybe. But I think 3 years is honestly pushing it for him. I would say he's probably about done.
So you treat this, say, as a retirement tour of sorts?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I mean, the only reason I can see WWE really bringing him in at this stage, given his physical condition, is really for the novelty value, for the name value, the fact that they can use him in kind of sort of a one-year sort of push where you build him to a match with somebody, presumably Taker at Mania, or presumably Cena at Mania, to give one of those guys the payday and to give Sting the payday, and then that way that gives them the right to also use Sting on, have him do DVD work and interviews and media and all that kind of other stuff. Basically use him for the name value that he has.
Right.
That's the only reason I can see him. I don't see them really bringing him in for any extended programs or really anything like that, for anything really longer than a year. And I don't know if he would really want to do anything longer than a year.
Because if you think about right now, his deals are one-year deals because he tests his body and see if it holds up through the year and how whatever have you. And if you think about it, Sting coming in right away will be a big pop. But as we know to the WWE audience, how many of the current WWE fans, their target demographic, know Sting?
Get out of my head, Rock.
It didn't answer the question, Lindsay.
The target demographic, the kids, just going general, I would say not really that well.
I'd say probably not at all, actually, unless they watch TNA. Which, let's face it, a lot of the WWE's kid audience does not watch TNA.
Correct.
No.
So,
this is the thing. If you're going to bring Sting in, you're not bringing him in for the kids. You're bringing him in for that nostalgic crowd and the adult crowd. You're bringing in for those type of people, the same like you do for The Rock, the same like you do for Brock Lesnar. That's the crowd that you're aiming for, not the kids.
Right. But if you think about it, Sting is not on Brock or Rock's level. And it's going to take more...
No, not to the general audience, no. But again, you're not catering this to the general audience.
The general WWE audience, yes you are. And that's what I'm saying is, you have to... That's why it's going to take a year, and that's why you have a long year where you can build Sting up to get him credible in the eyes of every fan in WWE. The entire universe, in quotations. Because if he'll show up in one city, no one will know who he is.
Oh, you know if they're going to bring him back, they're going to bring him back at his hometown, or maybe Atlanta.
Atlanta and Northeast City, etc., etc. But
yeah.
as we clearly saw, Iowa Cricket. Cricket. Cricket.
Okay, well, to be fair, that crowd was shit. They didn't really pop for anything except for Punk and Brian, and that's it.
It's Iowa. It's one of those little backwater places that doesn't really count in the eyes of anyone in this planet.
But you get my point. There are going to be certain cities and places where only a select few will actually know who he is.
And it's going to happen with anybody. You know, I'm sure there's a town out there that you go to where The Rock couldn't get over. You know, it happens with everybody. There's always going to be these little pockets, which is fine. With the WWE now touring all of the US, you know, bring Sting out when you hit the Southern Belt. You know, when you hit those areas where WCW was popular, then you can guarantee those pops. You know, you don't really have to make sure he gets over the entire place. You can take him around on little tours. As you know, we already said, you're not going to get a lot of use out of him. You get maybe 2 years tops. Treat it as a retirement tour. Which means you go through all those places you know Sting got over. That way he gets over with the audience with the help of that audience.
One thing that might help them too is at least when he initially comes back, as far as to draw that nostalgia audience, is they do, rather than just have him show up, they do kind of what they're doing for RVD, where they do those build-up promos and they announce that he's coming back. And they build to his return. They build to, I shouldn't say his return, but his initial entrance and debut into the WWE. And you really build him up, and that way you kind of hit two birds with one stone. You attract that old audience back that are Sting fans that maybe aren't aware that he's in TNA or want to see him again or whatever. And then you also introduce him to the kids.
So you'd say something... So what would you prefer in the end? What they're doing with RVD, where it's basically highlight reel, you've got a month before he debuts, or would you prefer something that they did along the lines of Undertaker's, you know, the rainy Shaq promo that they did?
That's what I'm kind of talking about.
Yeah, do you go overly gimmicky, or do you just go... Here's a highlight reel, here's what the guy's about, he's coming in a month.
You could kind of do the cross between the two, where it's like you do the gimmicky type thing, but you sort of subliminally put messages of Sting.
By the end, you put in who he is. You do the build-up. And then by the end, you reveal it, and then you know who's coming. Because, my point sort of was, you're going to have to establish Sting's character in the new surroundings. That's for sure. Especially if you want to get him over to the entire WWE audience. Two, you want to kind of build him up. You're going to have to establish his character and build him up. Because there are people who will know him as a big star, but there are also people who will think of him, oh, I saw him here and he wasn't that big. He doesn't look like I remember him. He doesn't have that same feel to him. By the way, one thing he will have to get rid of is wearing a shirt. That never gonna fly.
Well, he's gonna need to get back into shape if he's gonna make a WWE run. Let's face facts here. He wears a shirt because he's severely out of shape.
Or get new ring gear where you cover, you know.
Maybe you should get the Oh, is it the bodysuit with the spray-painted abs like Warrior used to wear?
he doesn't even need that. He just needs... You know the shirt with The Rock was wearing? That type of shirt? The Under Armour type gimmick? That could be his top, and that covers up his... things.
But then again, here it is. We're discussing all this, and for all we know, sure, there's been word getting around that, you know, there's been discussion between the two. which could turn out to be complete and utter BS, and they just wanted a counterpoint for the WWE title on that thing, because that's what it was. It was like, well, yeah, sure, a WWE champion. And here's what was going on over in, you know, NWA, WCW, leading up to, like, the two titles merging. You know, we could be looking way too into this, like we did when the whole Undertaker promo came out.
Right. Yeah, but in looking at the other side of it, and we kind of made this point last night, they could have picked anybody from the WCW era. They could have used Nash. They could have used Booker T. They could have used anybody.
They used Booker at one point.
They did do Booker at one point?
Yeah,
they did Hunter at one point.
Hunter and Booker were the
sorry.
Two. They could have used Goldberg.
I don't remember all of them, so my
Goldberg.
Bad.
But if you actually take a look at the way that they were elevating it, who was the one before Sting was Flair.
Yeah.
So where do you know, if you're going in the logical conclusion, Flair's title reigns were preceded by Sting's.
They were
and 80s, then you could
stuff.
Go into like 4,000 Hogan runs and everything else on WCW, but.
They were sort of going by decade.
It's more or less, it's you still could have taken anybody. You could have skipped over Sting. The fact that Sting has never been in WWE, he's never been associated with WWE. He's only really associated with WCW, NWA, a whole bunch of other promotions, and TNA. The fact that they specifically chose Sting and Hogan, two people that are not in the company. Hogan is, yes, heavily associated with WWE, but they're both in another company.
It's more that they've got the archive footage and they can do whatever the frag they want with it.
Oh, I know, and I'm sure we're looking too much into it, and I'm sure there's nothing to it, and Sting is probably going to re-sign with TNA for another year when his contract comes up. But it's just, it was an interesting choice. It's like, out of everybody, you pick Sting. Because I think that raised a lot of eyebrows for at least the older school fans who know Sting, where it's like, huh, that's an interesting choice.
Mm. It definitely was an interesting choice, and it's done exactly what people in the office wanted. They wanted people to talk about it, which we are doing.
Yes.
Yeah, and to be honest, you know, at least they didn't show Arquette.
I was half expecting him to, actually. I really was. Like, I was waiting for it.
So, we'll leave it there for the moment.
Yes, and we actually had a Hogan-Cena conversation that we'll have next week.
Yeah, my face is too red for me to actually fully think about doing it. Anyway, let's get into our question of the night.
Yes, so what is everyone's favorite 4th of July treat?
We got some submissions from the peoples on the Facebooks. And the Twitters. Can't forget about Twitters as well, and Twitters. I'm going to go find that. But we'll go from the Facebooks first. Sleep.
Thank you, Stone Ambrose.
Cherry pie. Fireworks. Hot wings. Hebrew National hot dogs. Hamburgers. Got another one for hot dogs. Or no, not hot dogs. Chili dogs.
Thank you, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah. So, Maze, on July 4th, because it's just a random day, what's your favorite treat?
Well, alright, well, I won't say something on July 4th, because let's face it, as you just said, it's just another friggin' day for me. So I'll just go with sort of a random treat for this. Cold pizza.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, damn right, especially after a night of drinking.
Oh, yes.
Awesome.
Cold pizza is the best thing ever for a hangover.
Oh, hell yeah.
We have ice cream and Twinkies in the chat room. So, Lindsay, what's your 4th of July treat?
I like to have strawberries with a little bit of sugar sprinkled over them, topped with whipped cream.
Interesting. Mine's not a food or anything, it's more having fun with people you don't often see.
Yes, and apparently I get to hear all about this later.
Probably. You get to spend time with people you haven't seen in years or just once a year. It's the time where family and friends get together and have lots and lots of fun. That's the big treat, especially for the 4th of July.
And all, right, you all right.
Go ahead.
Let's flip this then. We've just done 4th of July treats and what we enjoy. What would be the bad part of the 4th of July?
People shooting off fireworks till fucking 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that the late night fireworks is the only bad thing about it. Actually, it's
not being forced out in the sun for 7 hours?
No, it was not forced out in the sun. It was just being out in the sun. It's more like the days leading up to it when people do fireworks at random times, like at 2:30 in the morning, which is fantastic. Just pointing that out a couple days ago. Random fireworks at 2:30 in the morning. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's always that awkward moment around this time of year where people are setting off fireworks and they're doing it late enough at night that, especially if they're doing them right outside your window, that you're not entirely sure if your neighbors have just shot each other or if they're just shooting off fireworks. And you actually have to sit there for a minute and listen for screaming. And if you don't hear any, then you don't have to call the cops.
See, tonight was different. I heard fireworks and I heard screaming. So I wasn't sure which was which.
Well, tonight it's just, it's...
That would have meant they got the good ones out.
Yeah. Tonight, yeah,
the Mexican ones that blow off half a body part.
Yes.
Yeah. But, yeah, tonight, it's everything is fair game. Tomorrow, though, tomorrow's going to be fun. Because, yay, it's July, that means everybody's going to be shooting off fireworks all month until Pioneer Days. Yay!
So that was our question of the night. For this Independence Day spectacular...
Yes, so on that note, we are going to wrap up the show. So tune in next week because we are going to be talking all about WWE's upcoming pay-per-view Money in the Bank. We'll be doing pick'em, preview, all that good, fun, happy stuff. And we'll have questions and we'll have discussions and whatnot. So tune in and listen to that. But until then, Mace, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Just keep an eye out on the good old Wild Talk Radio website, where I shall be posting along all news and notes regarding the Penny Arcade Expo Australia, which comes up in less than 2 weeks down here in Australia. I've already got a couple of interviews lined up. More information about that probably on Sunday. And feel free, once I put the information up, to send me some questions to ask these people, because I have no fucking idea. Other than that, follow me on Facebook at On Facebook? No, don't follow me on Facebook because I hate people.
You almost did it. You almost slipped out.
I almost did it. I almost did it. As you can tell, I am very much still awake. Follow me on Twitter at TheMaceThing. Don't even try to get me on Facebook because, let's face it, I don't really like mixing business with pleasure. Close friends only on Facebook. So if I love you, that's why I add you.
Aww.
Or either that or I've been bribed.
Either way, it happens. Just follow them on the Twitters and keep an eye out right here at wildtalkradio.com for articles from the Mace Thing. I guess that's where I plug stuff now, huh?
Yes.
Well, before you do that, I could also say that I might be returning video games very, very soon. Maybe not tomorrow night soon, but soon.
Speaking of games, Cards Against Humanity, around 10 p.m. Eastern Saturday night, followed up by CB Radio at midnight-ish, as we talk about the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Mace, you had a chance to hear the commercial, huh?
I did.
Have you listened to any of the archives?
No, I haven't, unfortunately, because one of them has since disappeared. Omega tried to redirect me to it the other day, trying to quote stuff, and it's like, well, damn, it's gone. Rock didn't decide to leave it on there.
Crap.
It's the one that you got the commercials from, so...
Yes, I still have the audio from it, so... Anyway.
Yeah. By the way, I feel like I should be Apollo Creed dancing around in Rocky IV hearing this music.
Because we're living in America. But yeah, And that was when we showed them that they, you know, the fuck pony. Anyway, Saturday night, midnight, CB Radio. Sunday night, WTR Sunday night. It will not be the all-American, American, American edition. You'll have an American, Canadian, and Australian. It's WTR Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night's KFA Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik at 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, it is Cheap Heat Radio at 8:30 p.m. Eastern with Scott Barry and Matthew Forsina. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. WTRProductions.net. RackRadioShow.com. Check out PWMania.com and MemLeanPromo.com. Lindsay.
Alright, well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check out CastyRiley.net for all your Casty Riley needs. And if anybody's interested in seeing my artwork, go to behance.net/LinsWard, LinsWard. I've got two brand spanking new pieces up on that site. It's also on my DeviantArt, LinsWard.deviantArt.com. So check those out. Also, please listen to all the other fine programming on this network because we do all work very hard. And we do our best to entertain you. Please also visit our fine sponsors, MemLanePromo.com, PWMania.com, and our friends over at TNAsylum.com. So for Rock, for Mace, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. And we will see you next week. Happy 4th of July, everybody, and happy birthday to my daddy. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.